Our eternal Rock of Ages, we appreciate you for this time. Father, thank you because you are good, and thank you because your mercies endure forever. Thank you, King of Glory, because you have gathered us together into your presence this morning, and you have set before us a table to feast on your word. Lord, we pray, O God, that as we open our mouths wide, Father, that you will fill us. Lord, that you will feed us. Father, that you will nourish our spirit man. Eternal Father, that you will be our satisfaction. Lord, I pray that as your word proceeds, let it come forth with power and let it minister life to every hearer. Father, let it minister to every one of us at our point of need. Let the Holy Spirit distribute severally to everyone according to that which he needs or she needs in the name of Jesus. At the end of the day, loving Father, let your name be praised. Thank you, loving Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, by the grace of God, I want to speak on prescription for perfect peace. Prescription for perfect peace. And by God's grace, I'm taking my text from that popular passage in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. So we're going to be reading the 6 verses of Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. This morning I said I'll be ministering on prescription for perfect peace. Jesus is our shepherd, is our Lord, our owner, and our maker. He himself said in John chapter 10 verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd." And please turn your Bibles again with me to the Gospel of John chapter 1. And let's read from verse 1 to 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Listen to verse 3 now. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So that confirms that he is our owner and he is our maker. That's why David could say in that psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." We will know and enjoy peace if we stay within the confines of his love and care. Much of our troubles in life come from our want. To want is not to lack or need something. It is to desire, lust after, or crave for something. A child of God will not always have everything, but God gives each of us what we need to subsist in life. The emphasis here is in being totally satisfied with the shepherd's care, and so not lust or crave for anything more. It's like parentage or marriage. It's like when a child says, "I am so satisfied with my parents that I won't have desire for another, or I won't have the desire for a change." I'm sure you have had some people said it at the funeral of their parents, because they love their parents so much that they would say if they had to come to this world again, they would still want to have that man as father or that woman as mother. That's what this place is saying. You enjoy your shepherd so much that you say, I won't want another. I won't lust after another. I won't have any quest for change of my shepherd. Or when a husband or wife is so satisfied in marriage, and you say, I am satisfied, I am content with my husband or with my wife, that I don't have desire for change. I hope you know in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 11 in particular, the Bible talks about the husband of a virtuous woman. That because this man will be so satisfied in his wife, he will not have need for spoil. In ancient times, when kings went to battles, by the time they returned, they would bring captives of war. Usually men are killed in battles and children are left just like that. But many of those young women will be brought as captives, and usually the king and all the army generals will share them amongst themselves. But imagine a king or a general in the army who has a virtuous woman for wife, and as they bring these women who are captives of war, and the men are beginning to share them amongst themselves, and then they get to the turn of this man and they say, no, I'm satisfied with my wife, that I don't have the need for another. I will not desire for another. I will not lust after another. That is what it means in this passage when the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Bible warns us that gain is not godliness, and that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. This is the common mistake of our generation and the fallacy of the prosperity doctrine. Jesus Christ warns us that the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That is in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And Paul also wrote to Timothy and so to us, warning us that gain is not godliness. He said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That is where the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So when the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it has to do more with having contentment with whatever God has given you. So the secret of enjoying lasting peace in this world is to be content with what God has provided or given us. Be rest assured that God is always in control of the affairs of your life. And to confirm this, let's read some passages of scripture. If anybody came here this morning having a doubt in his or her mind that maybe God doesn't love me, maybe God doesn't care for me, maybe God has forgotten about me, let's go into the word of God this morning. And as we go into the word of God, I pray that the Holy Spirit once again will bring the assurance of the love and the care of God to your heart. You didn't shout a loud amen to that. Amen. Please let's turn to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to read chapter 43. And we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. I'll be the first part of verse 5. Isaiah chapter 43 from verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. In verse 5 he says, fear not, for I am with thee. Please say to your neighbor this morning, fear not. God is with you. Hallelujah. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus Christ said, in this world ye shall have tribulations, But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says there, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. So we must learn how to enter into and enjoy the presence and peace of our Lord and Shepherd in the midst of the troubles, hardships, and sufferings of life, and still be able to boldly declare and say, like David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many of us can confidently say that this morning? And if you are sure and you are confident about it, I want you to boldly say with me, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Please repeat it one more time. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
You know what you are saying in effect is that Jesus is your shepherd. And you'll be so satisfied with Jesus. You'll be so content with Jesus that there is nobody anywhere in the world that can lure you to follow another Lord or another God. That's why we sing that song, all other gods, they are the works of men. He is the only God, and there is none like him. Pity a Christian who claims to follow Jesus and yet is sneaking to certain dark places to seek after idols. Some people cannot say, like the psalmist and like we have said this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let us know that peace is a gift from God. That is why the ungodly in the world lack peace and are always restless. Compare that with the peace of believers in Christ Jesus, even when a believer is poor, struggling, or suffering. He enjoys peace because Christ makes the difference. Generally, in life, the more men have, the more they want to have, the more greedy, restless, and unsettled they become. Let me ask you, have you ever seen any rich man who says he has enough money and he doesn't want more money anymore? That is why children of God don't pursue money. Children of God don't run after material and earthly wealth. That is why the last verse of Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Jesus Christ equally says in Mark chapter 16, he says, these signs shall follow. They follow. When you are running after something, whatever you are running after is ahead of you. It's in your front. But when something follows you, that thing is coming behind you. That thing is at your back. Never chase earthly wealth. Never chase financial prosperity. Many of the preachers who are now preaching financial prosperity, a lot of them started very well. But now they are derailed. When they started to run after Jesus. But the moment a preacher derails, he begins to chase and run after money. The psalmist said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. I am not supposed to pursue goodness and mercy. I am not supposed to chase goodness and mercy. I am not supposed to chase material prosperity in life. Those things are gifts. Those things are blessings from God. And they are expected to follow me. Listen to the counsel of God this morning. I said to you, the more men have, the more greedy, restless and unsettled they become, wanting this and wanting that, yet never really satisfied in their spirit. There was once a series on the television that was titled The Rich Also Cry. It's not just that the rich also cry, in fact, many of the rich are crying now. And that's why we've got to know the disposition that God wants us to have to material wealth. Contentment and peace are the real marks of any life in the hands of God. Hallelujah. Please turn your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verse 16 first. It says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Look at verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit.
A child of God can enjoy peace irrespective of your situation or your circumstance. Listen to me. There is nothing anybody can say. There is nothing anybody can do about it. Our situations and circumstances will always be different and varied according to our numbers. There are not two people here this morning whose circumstances are exactly the same. But irrespective of whatever your situation may be, irrespective of whatever you may be passing through, irrespective of whatever your situation is, you can enjoy peace. Tell your neighbor you can enjoy peace. That is why we are not supposed to be chasing money as if money is going to give us peace. Money will not give you peace. The more money you have, the less of peace you are going to enjoy. Jesus Christ said, in this world, moths do corrupt and thieves break in. And that is why the more material wealth you have, if you are not careful, the higher your blood pressure will rise. So let's understand what the scripture is saying and let us gain some wisdom. God knows what we need and will adequately provide. He knows what we need and surely He will provide. Let's again see that, a confirmation of that in Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and then let's read verse 19. Psalm 68 verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." Is that in your Bible? If it is in your Bible, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That passage confirmed that God daily loads us with benefits. I hope you know that there is a difference in meaning between giving and loading. God does not just give, He loads with benefits. And the Bible says He does that every day. Today the Lord is going to load you with benefits.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 6 verse 11, in the Lord's Prayer, the Lord taught us to pray, "Give us this day our what? Our daily bread." Again, take notice of that word daily. God is faithful, brethren. God every day provides for His children. "Give us this day our daily bread." So you can see that God knows your need. Say to your neighbor, "God knows your need." And say to that person, "He will adequately provide." Hallelujah. Christians who do not find contentment in Christ are the carnal ones who always look out beyond the fence. Eventually, most of such people will be frustrated and they will backslide. That is why Jesus Christ warns us. In Luke chapter 17 verse 32, He said, "Remember Lot's wife." Please tell your neighbor this morning, "Remember Lot's wife." What was the problem of the wife of Lot? Was it that God didn't bless her? God blessed her. All those gold and silver and the jewelry that she was so attached to the extent that she disobeyed God and looked back. When God said, "Don't look back," who gave them to her in the first place? Don't forget that when you came into life, you came naked. And on the day when you will be returning back to God, you don't even know the clothes that you're going to wear. It's those who are left behind who would decide whatever they are going to cover you with. The Bible says to us this morning, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Materialism has become a terrible problem that is corrupting modern Christianity. A lot of us no longer have contentment. And because we lack contentment, we lack peace also. Perfect peace in Psalm 23 verse 2 is likened to lying down. That is why David said there, he said, "He makes me to lie down." Please tell your neighbor, "Lie down." I love a Yoruba name. I still met a child yesterday who bears that name, Similoluwa. It means rest on God. Rest on the Lord. A lot of us no longer knows how to rest on the Lord, all because of the liberty that we now enjoy in Christianity. A lot of us, we no longer know how to rest. We abuse everything, including our bodies. And because a lot of people are not resting, stress has become a modern problem. For the Jews, any Jew who went out on the Sabbath day, what will be done to him or to her? Such a person will be stoned to death. Yes, you may say we are not being stoned to death now. Another person may not stone you to death. But do you know that a lot of people are stoning themselves to death? Stress is now killing the modern man because of lack of rest. Because we no longer remember the word of God that commands us and say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know that an average Jew is not expected to even cook on the Sabbath day. Not even cook the food that you are going to eat. But today we are so busy and too busy that we run 24/7 until a lot of people drop dead. Friends, the picture of peace in Psalm 23 is that you will lie down. This month, you will lie down. You will find rest in God. You will enter into His peace. That you will no longer begin to run from pillar to post. You will no longer be running helter-skelter, thinking it is by your wisdom or by your power or by your strength or by your character that you are going to make it in life. No, that is not true. The psalmist said, except the Lord builds the house, the builders are building but in vain. Except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen are keeping awake but in vain. And you know how John the Baptist put it? He said, no man can receive anything except God gives him. If we know all this, then why all this kirakita all over the place that is cutting short the lifespan of man and making many people to die untimely? To be at peace is to lie down. Sheep by nature are usually weak, defenseless, and fearful, especially while grazing in open fields with wild animals around. It is the presence of the shepherd that calms down the sheep and assures them of long-lasting peace. We also are left in this wicked world as sheep in the midst of wolves. But Jesus, our Lord and Shepherd, is more than able to give us real protection and peace, the prowling enemy notwithstanding. If you truly make Jesus the shepherd of your soul, you will enjoy God's perfect peace, come what may. Now let's come to the heart of the message. Prescription for peace. How can we enjoy this perfect peace? Especially as the Lord has given us certain keys and clues in Psalm 23. For any sheep to lie down and enjoy real peace, certain conditions must be met. Such sheep must be free from the following. Number one, the sheep must be free from fear. Number two, the sheep must be free from friction and tension. Number three, that sheep must be free from pests. And then number four, the sheep must be free from hunger. Any sheep that is not free from these things cannot lie down, but will always be agitated and restless. But the presence of the shepherd gives the sheep an assurance that these needs will be met and put it at ease. Let's read the book of Isaiah chapter 30 and then verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Let's leave the latter part of it, because I pray that will not be your portion. Because for the children of Israel that God wrote to in this way, God ended that verse by saying, but you will not. God wanted them to be quiet. God wanted them to be at rest. God wanted them to enjoy His peace. But these people would not. I'm sure even as far back as the time of Moses, you could read when they were still in the wilderness and God commanded them never to go out on the Sabbath day. One man went out to look for something on the Sabbath day. And then they reported him to Moses, and Moses had to seek the face of God and say, what do we do to this man? What did God tell Moses to do to him? He said, that man should be stoned to death. And believe me, he was stoned to death. That is to confirm what God said about them, that they will not. God said, rest. But this one said, they will not. Lie down. They said, they will not. That is why God constantly referred to them as stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Now that we are born again, brethren, don't let us be stiff-necked and hard-hearted like the children of Israel. Let us be like David. He said God spoke once, he heard twice. The power belongs to God. That's a sensitive person. That is a responsive person. And that is what God wants us to be. Now, let's look at each of those challenges, each of those problems that will not allow a sheep to lie down. Number one, the problem of fear. I said, for any sheep to lie down, that sheep must be free from fear. There are all kinds of fears that cause anxiety and tend to deprive us of our quietness and composure in life. The fear of the unknown usually produces the greatest form of panic. And so we are constantly being tempted to want to provide for these eventualities. Let's read the book of James. James chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Look at that question there. Where comes war from? Where does it come from? And the Bible gives us the clue that wars come from our inner lusts and craving. You want something and you want it so desperately. Then you begin to scheme how to have it. And that's why some people cheat. That is why people lie. That is why some people steal. And how much will a person steal in order to be satisfied? That's why in this part of the world, you see even those in government. Somebody is a counselor. Somebody is the chairman of a local government. Somebody is a governor. Even presidents of nations steal because of this insatiable lust. Because of the fear of the unknown. The fear of the future. Let me grab as much as I can grab. Not only for myself, but also for my children and my children's children and children's children's children, for generations unborn. Is that not why many of our leaders are stealing? Is that not the root of corruption that we are beginning to witness in our time? And I hope you know that we can only talk in comparative terms. There is no nation in the entire world that has zero level of corruption. I hope you know that. The city of Detroit in America is now bankrupt. And all these problems have their roots in mismanagement of leaders, greedy leaders, corrupt leaders who are not satisfied with the bogus income that have been allotted to them. And the more they are giving, the more they want to get. I hope you know that that is what caused the financial global meltdown that led to the failure of banks, starting from America, and the meltdown has come to this part of the world. What we call executive recklessness. And unfortunately, many of our preachers are aiding and abetting this ungodly lifestyle. Friends, we've got to turn to God. You've got to look to God to overcome your fears. Fears of tomorrow, fears of the future, fear of the unknown that is causing people to cheat, to lie, to defraud, to steal. The only biblical prescription for perfect peace, therefore, is the constant awareness of the presence of the Lord, our good shepherd. Again, we are going to read a series of passages in scripture just to confirm this. Please turn to the book of Psalms again, Psalm 27, and let's read from verse 1 to verse 5. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me up upon a rock. Hallelujah. Can you see that? That is the basis of our confidence as children of God. Again, let's look at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Please say to your neighbor this morning, be strong. Say to that person, fear not. Tell that person, your God will come and save you. Brethren, these are the times that we've got to be strong. These are the times that we must not be fearful. Because if we are not strong and we are fearful like the unbelievers, then we are going to be corrupt like them. We are going to begin to dip our hands into ungodliness. A lot of Christians, as a result of fear, will begin to go to their offices and they begin to change figures and begin to carry out fraud. A lot of Christians now can no longer be trusted with money. All because of fear. Fear of what I'm going to eat. Fear of what I'm going to put on. Fear of survival. The Bible says, fear not. The Bible says, be strong. They say when the goings get tough, that is when the tough get going. Let's be strong, brethren. Don't let us allow contemporary challenges to take away our salvation from us. Because that is the ultimate goal of the adversary. Please again turn to that same book of Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Let's read from verse 10 to verse 14. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Verse 14, fear not, thou womb Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Say again to your neighbor this morning, the Lord will help you. Now say to yourself, the Lord will help me. I think the time has come when the Christians in our generation should learn to say like the three Hebrew sons, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, we will still not bow down our head to the idols of the king. And let me tell you something. The idol, the king of our generation has raised this money. And only God knows how many Christians with their own hands have erased their names out of the book of life because of love of money. Because of corruption. Because of certain wants that they desperately want to meet. Friends, let us take heed to the warnings of God. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and let us read verse 32. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let me tell you one secret of life. Every great venture in life always starts small. Every great journey in life always starts with a step. So never be afraid to start small. Those that are big, those that are great today, they didn't get to where they are overnight. And that's why Jesus Christ is saying this, to encourage you and I. He said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Say to yourself, I will get there. Fine. It may take time. You will reach your goal. You will get to God's destination. That is what the Spirit of God is saying.
Don't allow the enemy to lure you into taking shortcuts. The Bible says, narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that goes to eternal life. But the road that goes to hell, very, very broad. And the gate is wide. And look at the contrast. Many are trooping to hell, and whereas only few are on their way to heaven. Please, why don't you join the few who are on their way to heaven? And don't allow the enemy to lure you out of the narrow pass into the broad way. The presence of the Lord makes the big difference. And the Holy Spirit is the one who brings this sense and reality of the presence of Christ into our fearful hearts. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, Paul wrote there and he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but instead God has given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind at rest and at peace, not troubled, not disturbed, not the heart that is harassed by fear. Again, let's read the book of Psalms, Psalm 4, and then verse 8. And let's see another wonderful declaration of God there. He says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Please underline that verse in your Bible. And I want all of us to read it together this morning. Because we are now living at the time. Men are finding it to go to sleep at night. Many people, they can't sleep except they use sleeping tablets. I hope you know that was the problem of Michael Jackson. As rich as he was, as famous as he was, as powerful as he was, that man couldn't sleep. Sleep is a gift from God. Michael Jackson got so addicted to all the sleeping drugs you will find in this world that none of them could work on his body anymore. That the doctor had to inject him with propofol. That is a drug that they use to put a patient upon whom the doctor is going to carry out surgery to sleep. And that was what killed him. And that's to tell you that money cannot solve the problems of a man. Please turn to Psalm 4 and let's read verse 8 together. Say to yourself, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Can you see that? If God doesn't give you sleep, Valium cannot give you sleep. If God does not give you sleep and rest, even propofol cannot put you to sleep. Instead, it will kill you. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, he keeps in perfect peace those whose hearts rest upon him. He keeps in perfect peace. If your heart will rest on the Lord, God will do for you what Valium cannot do. If your heart rests upon the Lord, God will do for you what propofol could not do. It will give you peace. Hallelujah. Let's look at the second challenge. Freedom from friction and tension. There is competition for food and the tendency to create territories and establish an order of dominance in every animal kingdom. This creates friction, tension, and competition among the pack or flock. The sheep, as a result, cannot lie down to rest, as they must stand up to defend themselves all the time. They are therefore constantly tensed and restless. This also is the picture of the church, the flock of Christ. Many are hurting as a result of unnecessary envy, rivalry, and competition in the congregation. You know, as it is in the animal kingdom, and that's why Jesus Christ calls us sheep, the church is called a flock of sheep. Animals, they compete for food. Animals like to establish territories for themselves and they want to defend it. Animals, they tend to establish a kind of dominance. The strong ones want to dominate the weak ones. And sometimes you find that tendency in the church. And that's why there are quite a number of people in churches, in congregations, who are hurting as a result of all this envy, rivalry, unnecessary competition all over the place. Again, let us establish that in scripture.
Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34. And then we're going to read from verse 15 all through to verse 22. Ezekiel chapter 34 from verse 22. The Lord says here, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, said the Lord. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. Who drove them away? And I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and strong. I will feed them with judgment. Brethren who feel they are strong, brethren who feel they are fat, either because the Lord has smiled on them and because they see themselves as successful, as rich, as wealthy and healthy, listen to the word of God this morning. God says in verse 17, as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of the pasture, and to have drunk of the deep waters. But ye must foul the residue with your feet. As for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. Can you hear the word of God this morning? He is the shepherd, and he knows that certain sheep in the flock can be unruly. Certain sheep in the flock are bullies, pushing others with their horns and with their shoulders, intimidating the less privileged and the poor ones in church. God said he's going to judge amongst his sheep. You know, and this is to confirm that as it is in the animal kingdom, so you find in the church and the flock of Christ, class segregation has entered many congregations and is beginning to destroy the work of God, and is beginning to push out the Holy Spirit from the midst of the church. Is that not why we call ourselves brethren? Is that not why we call a brother brother and a sister sister? The quest for titles is beginning to tamper with the work of God in our generation. Everybody wanting to override his brother and his sister. But if you remember this passage afterwards, then take warning and be careful how you carry yourself in the church. All of us are brethren. Say to whoever is beside you, you are my brother or you are my sister. Say to that person, I love you in Christ. You see, it is only in the church that a manager and a messenger can sit side by side. It is only in the church that a messenger can call a manager my brother. Pentecostal churches have changed. A lot of us have gone the way of the Orthodox churches, and we are not even doing worse. We are beginning to create unnecessary and ungodly hierarchy in the church. But God says he is going to judge. He says he will judge between cattle and cattle. Those bullies in the church that are booting and hunting people, God knows them. And at the right time, he will call them to order. Usually, the sheep that lie down are the contented ones who move to the far end of the grazing ground, away from the center of competition and strife. Let's see the picture of what I've just said in the life of Apostle Paul. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 11, so that you get the clue of how to enjoy God's perfect peace, even in the crowded and rowdy congregations. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 11. Paul says here, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Can you see that? You too, will you say like Paul this morning, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. You have said it with your mouth. And the Bible says a man is ensnared by the words of his mouth. So let your word be your bond. You can do all things, including humbling yourself. You can humble yourself. There are now too many proud and arrogant Christians all over the place who don't look like Christ anymore. My Bible tells me God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. If the Bible says we can do all things, then we can humble ourselves. We can practice self-denial. And we don't have to continue to carry ourselves in haughtiness all over the place. Usually, the poor, weak, and helpless sheep get the attention and compassion of the shepherd more than the domineering ones. The domineering sheep often get punished for their actions. Ask any mother or any parent at all. If a child is sick in the house, it is that sick child that gets all the attention in the house. True or false? Even in hospitals, that is why you have the emergency unit. When a case is declared as an emergency, the doctors will abandon other people. Those who too have problems, but their own problems are not as serious as these ones who have emergencies. The same thing in the church. You know, many of our preachers are creating a wrong impression. They run after the strong, after the rich, after the wealthy, and abandon the poor and the less privileged. And that is why those ones are going to enjoy more of the presence of God. That is why the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many wealthy people prophesy? How many of these successful people in business? How many of them can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover? How many of them can give word of knowledge? And you see a poor woman in church or a poor man in church, he doesn't have money, but he has spiritual wealth. He stands and he prophesies. And then you find the rich brother going to crouch around him asking for prayers. If every parent gives more attention to the poor child, and the teacher also in the class attends more to the poor student, and the doctor attends more to the poor patient, how much more God? How much more God? That's why the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Don't believe many of our prosperity preachers who are promising the rich all kinds of things that they themselves cannot afford, all because they are coveting their wealth. And they forsake and abandon the needy in the church. It is an ungodly practice, irrespective of whoever practices it. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, all the time, and not on those around us. This is the place of peace. Don't allow any brother in the church to discourage you. Don't allow any brother or sister in church to become a distraction to you. Keep looking unto Jesus. Please say to your neighbor this morning, keep looking unto Jesus. Fine. There will always be this problem of friction and tension in the church. But if you are wise, you won't mind them. You look away from the ungodly politics in congregations, and you will face Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, the one that you have to deal with. And then you'll be serious with your relationship with God. Let's go on to look at the third challenge. The challenge of freedom from pests. Sheep can't lie down when disturbed by all kinds of pests. Instead, they stand up, shaking their heads, stamping their feet, and sometimes run under shrubs for cover. That's why the Yoruba say, "Malut yo niru, oluwa lo le shifun." And come to think of it, even eito niru ngo, that is, the cow that has no tail, it is God that drives away house flies for it. Okay, even the cow that has tail, how far can the tail of the cow go?
Can he change away the flies on his back or on his tummy or on his head? Definitely not. So whether the cow that has tail or the one that doesn't have tail, it is God that chases away our flies. Don't you think so? But usually, when a sheep is disturbed or is being pestered by those pests, it's either it will be shaking his head, be wagging his tail, and be stamping his feet, or sometimes when the problem becomes too much, it will have to run under some shrubs for cover. You know, those are the things we pass through in life too, because we are sheep in the flock of Christ. Wow. Wonderful, isn't it? The shepherd provides relief by providing good shades for cover. Sometimes by washing up the sheep, and at other times by applying ointment or insect repellent to help the sheep chase away those flies and pests. As believers, we are often irritated, frustrated, or even wounded by harsh problems of life. But the Holy Spirit of God applies his soothing balm and oil to give us healing, comfort, and relief. In Psalm 23 verse 5, David said that thou anointest my head with oil. May the Lord anoint your head with oil. In Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 22, the prophet wondered by the spirit of prophecy. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Why is the wounds and the hurt of my people not healed? Please say to your neighbor again this morning, there is a balm in Gilead. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is your balm of Gilead. Anytime you are hurting, anytime you feel pain, anytime you are disturbed, and every time you are in distress, go to him in prayer. Let him apply this balm and oil upon your life. Don't go to ungodly people for counsel. Don't go to ungodly people for help. Too many Christians have been trapped because they went to ungodly people for help. Let us go to God in prayer and let us allow his Holy Spirit to apply his balm and his oil unto us. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 15 and 16 talks about our great high priest. The Bible says that we have not an high priest who is not touched by the feelings of our infirmity, but that was tempted in every way by which we have been tempted. What that passage means is, whatever temptation may be facing you today, Jesus faced it. And if Jesus faced it and overcame it, you also can face your own and you can overcome it. Hallelujah. Say to yourself this morning, temptation will not overcome me. Say to yourself this morning, I will overcome temptations. Yes, the grace of God is there for you. The Bible says we have not an high priest who is not touched by the feelings of our infirmities. If you are feeling pains, Jesus feels it with you. If you are feeling disturbed, Jesus feels it with you. Whatever your state or estate this morning, whatever your position, whatever your predisposition, he feels everything. He knows what you are going through. He feels for you. Please, let us allow the Holy Spirit of God to comfort our hearts. Turn to the book of James. James chapter 4 again. Or rather, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let's read verses 14 and 15. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Even if you have sinned, God promises you forgiveness here. That is what the oil is for. That is the provision of God for the use of oil. Not these days that we begin to abuse the oil. People go to anoint their doorpost, anoint their car, and no. The anointing oil is not for such uses. The scriptural guideline for the use of the oil is what we have read out. James chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Someone is sick, and you are a leader in the church, and you are not sure you have the gift of healing. Even if you don't have the gift of healing, there is a provision for you in the word of God. There is something that covers you as a leader over the flock of Christ to anoint the sick. And the Bible says that person will be healed. And even if that person has committed any sin, that person will be forgiven. But these days, people are beginning to use the anointing oil, or rather to abuse it and to use it in a fetish way and manner. Let's be careful. The Holy Spirit ministers quietness, strength, and perfect peace in the face of the troubles of life. Whatever you may be passing through at a time like this, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will give you his perfect peace. Now the last one, number four. The challenge of freedom from hunger. A hungry sheep will always be on his feet looking for food. Such sheep eventually will not do well, as they don't have the time to sit down or to lie down, rest, ruminate, and digest their food. The shepherd always searches out green pastures where his sheep can comfortably graze. Sometimes he has to plow and plant grass and grains to feed the flock, and even dig up trenches to provide them water. The Lord Jesus Christ, our great and good shepherd, constantly leads us in the green pastures of his word to feed our soul and produce the fruit of the Spirit in us. He also leads us beside the still and living waters of his Holy Spirit for spiritual cleansing and refreshing. The good shepherd wants to see his sheep well fed and to be at his best. Let's read the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to read verses 1 to 3. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Hallelujah. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Truly, Jesus cares and gives us his perfect peace. But the question all of us will need to answer this morning is, will you come to him for this peace? Please bow down your heads and let us pray. Will you come to him for peace? Or do you still want to continue to run from pillar to post? Do you still want to continue to seek for solutions where there are no solutions? You know, a lot of the times, when a sheep strays away from the presence of the shepherd, searching for food, that sheep does not know how to distinguish genuine grass from poisonous weeds. And a lot of the time, such sheep, they go to feed on poisonous weeds. And so, they are poisoned. And some even die in the process. When a sheep strays away from the presence of his shepherd and goes to drink polluted water, such sheep, they are poisoned. And then such sheep, they begin to stool. And some of them die in the process. Will you come to your shepherd, the shepherd of your soul, this morning? Will you cry to the Lord and say like David and say, "Lord, you are my shepherd. Henceforth I shall not want. Lord, even if I had wanted in the past, even if I had wandered away from your presence, oh Lord, even if I have strayed away from you, Lord, today I return again unto you, the God of my childhood. I return again unto you, my Lord, my shepherd, my maker, my creator, my source, my all in all." Please open your mouth and begin to talk to the Lord. Say unto the Lord this morning, "Lord, you will make me to lie down. You will deliver me from everything that agitates my soul. You will deliver me from all these problems that are pestering my life. All these problems that are not giving me rest." You know your own situation. Don't keep quiet this moment. It's the time of prayer. It's the time for you to open your mouth wide and talk to God. and said, Lord, please give me rest. Lord, give me rest. A prophet once cried to God. He said, like the crane and the swallow. He said, I have not had rest. He said, oh Lord, undertake for me. Will you cry to God this morning and say, Lord, undertake for me? I need your peace. I need your rest. Oh Lord. Maybe you are having the problem of sleeplessness. For some time now, you've been finding it difficult to go to sleep without taking sleeping tablets. Cry to God and say, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. He says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Say to God, I need your rest. Lord, I need this peace. Oh Lord, take me into your rest. Give me your perfect peace. Lord Jesus, we thank you because the Bible says you are such an high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, you know what these ones are feeling. Lord, you know the burdens underneath which they have found themselves in recent times. Lord, you know the causes of their sleeplessness and whatever it is that has been causing their blood pressure to shoot up persistently. O eternal Father, the Bible says every tree which you, our heavenly Father, has not planted shall be uprooted. Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus to the root of this crisis. I apply the blood of Jesus to the root of these problems today. And I cause them to dry up in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, let every burden be rolled away from their shoulders. Lord, every load that the adversary has placed upon their head, which has not been given to them by you, our God, every unnecessary care, every unnecessary worry, every unnecessary anxiety that these ones in themselves might have placed upon themselves, Father, let them be rolled away. Amen. This moment, let them be rolled away. Amen. This hour, let them be rolled away. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let their chains be broken. Amen. Let their fetters be destroyed. And let this your people be set free. Amen. Thank you, mighty Father. To you be all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.